thank you very much for coming. Let me give you an example of about the extent of filtering and the effect of filtering on average Iranians. A 73-year-old top cleric, a grand Ayatollah in Qom, south of Tehran, now the filtering and the internet has made him basically a geek, because he is exchanging his alternative domain names for his website that is filtered, and he's asking about weblogs, he reads weblogs and all that kind of stuff. This is the extent that internet is influential politically and socially in Iran, that even such an old man, a cleric that you could have not imagined working or knowing about these kind of things, is into it now. Let me give you some facts which could be very helpful. About 10% of the whole population of Iran have access to the internet. It's not much comparing to many countries in the world, but it's significant in the Middle East. Many of the popular websites have about 500,000 visitors per day. And the population of Iran is very young. 70% of the whole population are below 30 years of age. So internet is potentially a threat to the regime. It's not practically a threat now. But in my opinion, they're not afraid of spreading information, because the information is already spread through satellite TV channels that are very popular in Iran, and they're beamed from mostly from California and some from East Coast America and some from Europe. They're more afraid of the organizational power of the internet as a threat, as a potential threat to disrupt the order, the social order and the political order. That's why they're so afraid of even small websites that have at a minimum kind of influence and audience, which makes them influential, as I said. In 2001, a few weeks after 9/11, I discovered the idea of weblogs. Not anything to do with the 9/11 thing. It was just because of the coverage. And at the same time, I have to say my political positions, because it's very helpful sometimes. I'm as anti-Bush as I am as anti-Khamenei, the supreme leader of Iran. I'm not getting money from Bush administration to oppose the Iranian regime. So it's a very hard balance to keep. And you know, you have to always be careful not to fall on each of these two sides. And I'm pro-reform, and still believe that the final solution of a democratic Iran is reform. So, in 2001, after I discovered the idea of weblogs, I started my own one in Persian language. It was widely popular. It became very popular very quickly. So after a few weeks, people started to ask me how they could start their own blogs. So I had to write something. I had to look around and see all those blogging services, and I found out that Blogger.com, which now belongs to Google, provides that free tool for anyone who wants to make a blog. And that free tool supports Persian language as well. So I wrote a simple guide, and I also almost dedicated 1 year of my life when I was in Toronto to promote this idea of weblog, to keep this community together, to get a lot of writers and politicians and whoever I knew that could be helpful, that people would see blogs as some serious thing, not as something that teenagers do, to get all those people start blogging, to make it influential and to make it important. So after a few months, we had about 3,000, 4,000 blogs, only because of that simple guide. And then some other people in Iran started to create blogging services for free, which was really the reason of a huge boom. And now, based on the recent estimates, after about 4 years, the anniversary was actually on November the 5th, after 4 years, we have more than 700,000 of weblogs in Iran, in Persian, done and written both by Iranians outside and Iranians inside. The effect of blogs are also very important. I always use three metaphors to describe what is the effect of internet in Iran, blogs in Iran. Blogs in Iran are windows bridges and cafes. They're windows because they're showing inside to the outside world, and they're showing outside to the people who live in Iran. They're bridges because they're connecting different social islands in such a divided country, because it's in the process of modernization. A lot of social groups are getting divided, getting far from each other. Blogs are connecting those things. For example, it's a very unique chance for me as an Iranian man to see how Iranian women see the world without any male filter, which has always been there, which has always existed. So they're connecting genders, they're connecting politicians to people, because a lot of politicians now have weblogs and have comment sections, very active ones. So for example, one of the candidates in this presidential election, recent one, the reformist candidate had a weblog, and for some of his short posts, he had got about 1,000 comments on each of these posts. And they're connecting people who live outside Iran, inside Iran. So they're connecting different social islands. And there are cafes, which is, I think, politically very important for the international community, because, for example, about the nuclear program of Iran, the thing is that the Iranian government has limited everyone, has limited the media to only discuss this nuclear program in the framework of the official argument that the government provides. So you cannot, for example, talk about the environmental aspects of the program because it's not officially appreciated and recognized. So what weblogs are doing in terms of the cafe metaphor is creating a space out of the monopoly of the government in which important debates about important and general topics could happen, could take place. And this is, I think, one of the most important ones, because it has long-term political effects, and it could be very helpful or at the same time damaging to the process of democracy in Iran. And we also have filtering, which is a result of all these kind of things, and it's a significant symbol or evidence that the government is threatened by this space out of its monopoly. So they have started filtering anything that is popular, first of all, anything that is political and has more than maybe 50 readers or something, any service, any free service like Flickr.com, it's a image sharing application. They have filtered Flickr.com, they have filtered a lot of weblogs that are political, they have filtered a lot of websites that are about women. For example, the recent one, a few weeks ago, they've filtered a feminist, kind of moderate feminist website in Persian. So they're seeing it as a potential threat, and that's how they're reacting to it. And now we have a few people who were prosecuted, or one of them is still in jail. Mujtaba Saminejad is his name. He had a not very popular weblog, only about 50 readers or something, but because he had insulted the supreme leader of Iran, they had prosecuted him, and now he's in jail. They have also prosecuted a lot of other people, including me. When I was there last time during the elections, I was there, I had calculated that during the elections, usually they behave more democratically. So I went there because of that kind of that kind of calculation. But still, they didn't let me go. They kept me for another week. They interrogated me for about 6-5 hours. And they basically said that you can't expect us to allow you to come back to Iran this easily while you're writing about these specific topics, breaking taboos. You know, the supreme leader, the nuclear program, Iran-Israel relationship, filtering, and some religious concept. You can't continue this and at the same time expect us not to prosecute you. So the next time, either you stop writing about these things, or the next time you're in Iran, you'll be prosecuted.
Thank you very much. Thank you.